All right, gonna get into part two of this podcast with the Locked On Lakers guys in a second. If you haven't listened to the first part of the podcast, it was published. It went up on Wednesday. Definitely go check that one out. This is the second part of our conversation. Andy and Brian Kamenetsky, Locked On Lakers. We're going to get into it. It's really fun. Happy to be talking with these guys before the season starts. Sure, we're going to be doing it again. But as always, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Brooklyn, yo. All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets Podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. I'm Doug Norrie. No Adam Armbrecht today. That's okay. This is the second part of a two-part podcast with the Locked On Lakers guys, Andy and Brian Kamenetsky. These guys are awesome. Total Lakers experts. Like I said at the top, we're going to be talking to these guys probably a few times over the course of the season as the Nets, we talked about it yesterday, are on something like a collision course with the Lakers over the course of this season. They're just the runaway favorites. That's just kind of how the season is starting to shape up. Look, basketball can go a lot of different ways. A lot of things can happen. We saw that last year. Injuries can get in the way. I do think, and we talk about this in the podcast, I think both these teams have set themselves up to sort of weather a lot of different injury concerns that they maybe weren't able to last year. I think that's one major difference between this year and last year. The Kamenetsky brothers definitely feel the same way. It's really interesting to talk about these two teams in this context now because we're seeing how, you know, the Nets had a great team last year and it didn't take much for the fragility to sort of set in around the superstars. Same with the Lakers. There's a lot of overlap when you look at how these two teams' seasons played out. Not as soul-crushing for the Lakers as it was for the Nets, but injuries still did them in, all said and done. And we talk about it here today about how the two teams have kind of addressed that, gone into this season and said, hey, this was a real problem for us last year. Maybe we overtaxed the players during the regular season. It was a crazy schedule. You know, it was really just, you know, all the way packed in, injuries came up, and that ultimately cost both teams in the end and how they addressed, you know, building and roster construction for last year. So part one of the podcast, we talked at length about DeAndre Jordan and where he fit in with the Lakers and what the Nets were maybe, you know, losing, quote unquote, and what the Lakers were gaining, also in quotes. This one is a little, and then we started to get into more broad stuff. And then this part of the podcast picks up on where that kind of left off about the, you know, heading into the season, the likelihood that these two teams are going to see each other in the finals. What could happen if they do? What are some of the narratives that are going to be present when and if these teams ultimately face each other when it's all said and done? There's a lot of narratives. We kind of get into that about the stories that will be told around a lot of the different players that are now on the Lakers and Nets and how sometimes legacies can sort of be cemented around this kind of thing. And it's crazy when you think about it, how many different guys that now applies for when it comes to the Lakers and Nets. They're stacked with guys that are older. They're stacked with guys, some of them that are on the tail end of their careers, maybe some where things haven't worked out perfectly. And the stuff for both these teams, the overlap in terms of narratives is remarkably similar, even if the two teams are constructed totally differently. So it's a really fun conversation. Like I said, go back and listen to part one with the DeAndre piece if you haven't listened to that one yet. You don't need to listen to that one to understand what's going on here. It's just sort of an extension of the original conversation. But we will pick it up. Just a reminder, too, this conversation is on both the Locked On Nets and on Locked On Lakers. But you want Locked On Nets YouTube channel. I forgot to put the link in the notes. Will not for yesterday's show. Will not forget it for this one. Already getting a bunch of subscribers over there. People popping in, commenting on the videos. This whole conversation is right now up on the Locked On Nets feed on YouTube. So go and check that out. Link will be in the show notes. We're going to get to the conversation in 1 second first. If you are inundated with devices right now, and believe me, in the streaming world, you can feel like you've got one device that lets you watch games, another one where you watch shows, maybe you're over there watching, you're setting your kids up on something else. Maybe you're just trying to get the sports highlights on the iPad. You know how this goes. You got sometimes you're just using different friends login for the good stuff. Right now, there's a simpler way to get all the entertainment you love without any of that aforementioned hassle. And it's a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called Direct TV Stream. And it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. No more juggling remotes. No need to buy another device ever again. Best part, no annual contract. You'll like to hear that one, folks. Get on that monthly plan. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion. Get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by packages. Okay, part two, Locked On Lakers, Locked On Nets. Here we go.
So you talked about it, Doug. The Nets on paper, if everybody stays healthy, could win a ton of games, 65, whatever. How if they really put the gas down. The Lakers, if everybody's healthy, could very likely do the same, particularly through the regular season. But even if they didn't, we're going to get a Lakers-Nets finals come hell or high water, right, Andy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, unless both of these teams crap the bed in ways that are just too obvious, too nakedly transparent that you can paper over with some type of explanations, the league is going to rig this thing so we get Lakers-Nets in the finals. Because this is what everybody wants. There's always concerns about ratings in a new world where, you know, there are more options, people are cutting cords, all that stuff. Sports, got to save them, man. And Lakers-Nets is what the people want. Like, the Lakers' schedule, Doug, opens pretty soft. This is a team that needs time to get going, put all the new pieces together. You going to tell me that's a coincidence? No. Like, what's Brooklyn's schedule? Would you say Brooklyn's schedule is favorable overall? Because the Lakers is good.
I saw Brooklyn. I didn't understand this, but Brooklyn has 13 games against St. John's and another 6 against Seton Hall.
I know that. Well, they opened this. They did one dirty thing to them a little bit, is that they're making them open the season against Milwaukee when Milwaukee's going to get the ring.
Good. Teams usually. Uh-huh. Yeah. Crap the bed on ring night because it's too distracting.
That's their first game against Milwaukee. So that piece is, I'm not, it's like, it's not even something I'm really totally worried about here. I don't think that it's funny to call it rigged, because that makes sense in the sense that it's easy to call it that, but it's only because the NBA sort of allowed these teams to get so good. Like under the comp, like they've made it sort of incentivized now.
It's not going to rig itself, Doug. I mean, these things need to be, you know.
Well, wouldn't you say we're in this interesting bubble of where sort of like veteran players are trending to? Like the fact that the Lakers got Russell Westbrook, right? The fact that the Nets have Paul Millsap and LaMarcus Aldridge, these players that were at one point sort of peak level-ish players, Russ probably higher than those other two guys, but that on the downswing of their career, they're willing to enter these situations that where they are not the star anymore. And that actually is sort of like rigging it, because there's a situation now where you're able to, like, no one's saying Russell Westbrook is peak, 2016 or whatever, Russ, or LaMarcus Aldridge is max contract guy, or Millsap was whoever, who he was when he was with, when he was with Atlanta. But the fact that the NBA has sort of incentivized the scenario where these guys get absolutely paid and then are just fine being third fiddles, fourth fiddles on teams later in their career. And maybe it's a LeBron and KD thing and you just really want to play with those guys specifically, but it's not a rigging of it, but man, it made it easy for these teams to sort of load up on. I mean, even mention who the Lakers have. Look, Melo, whatever.
You seem very reluctant to use the R word here, Doug. It's okay.
There's no tinfoil hat on this head. So
it's clear. I have done no reporting on this. This is not insider sourcing.
It's not a reporting thing. It's just right. It's the right thing to do.
David, if you're listening right now, relax. We're not going to get you in any trouble.
It's going to be okay. It's just the right thing to do to make sure that these teams meet in the finals.
This is entertainment. Give people what they want.
If you look at the top five, if you want to just look at it from that standpoint, because people will always, Lakers fans, I don't know if they never deal with this. It's the opposite. Because like one thing Nets Nation gets dragged with is that they're not a real team. right? They don't have real fans. They don't have a real fan base. Oh, this would be a joke if they won. Look at their stadium. It's a Knicks town. This is where these are the thing you were wondering about rivalries. Nets will never have a rivalry with the Lakers. Nets fans specifically have rivalries, one within their own sort of feelings of not being good enough, like you know, little brother kind of syndromes where they feel like they're always told they're not a real team. You know, like these fans just came around, blah, blah, blah. You know, if MSG is rocking, then the Barclays will be a joke, stuff like this. These are the rivalries that the Nets fans have. But if you look at in terms of popularity, in terms of like jersey sales, I'm pretty sure these two teams have five or six of the top 10 jerseys now. And I know KD, Harden, and Kyrie are top three. I'm sure LeBron is like no lower than two. And then I'm sure Russ of the West with a Laker jersey is going to be really high up there too. So if you look at a new NBA landscape where fans are fans of players and are fine swapping the laundry around a little bit, then if you are the NBA, you're so happy about this. Because you're going to have like five of the most popular guys.
And they're all interconnected. And that leads to the next question I have. Like, we've talked a lot about, you know, just the ways it's not hard to come up with storylines with these six guys, connected to each other. And then, forget the, some of the ancillary Carmelo Anthony going for all that stuff. I mean, we don't even need to get there. What are your favorite kind of matchup related things when you think about what Lakers Nets could be going into the year? Because that's the other thing. They've never actually played. Like, right, for all the hype, they've never played.
Well, it starts with who fans want to label the best, and I'll do it too. Everyone wants to always label who the best player is, right? Who's the best player in the league? And you have talking heads all over the place that have sort of put their stake in the ground and will never move off it. And then you got people that are having it fine being a fluid situation. The fact that you could have a finals that features two guys that are typically spoken like this and LeBron and KD just to start would be fascinating and awesome. Now, they've already done it once, but that wasn't really KD's team at the time, right? That was Steph's team. And so this is clearly like after last year's playoffs, even if they're healthy with Harden and Kyrie, this is KD's team. Like, he was so unbelievable last year that there is no doubt that he is the, alpha on this team. And the rest of the guys are just kind of happy to be playing with him and are great also. So he'd be in a situation where he clearly is that guy for the first time facing off against a guy who you can still at his peak put as no worse than like the top three best player in the league. So I think it would just start with that. But then you have all these, how many people's legacies would be fixed by one of these two teams winning the championship? Like, everybody's. There'd be so many, probably more the Lakers at this point, because you would get Melo one, and you could get, AD already has, you get Russ one, right? And then just kind of down the line.
Harden.
That's hard, but then you throw Harden in the mix. Like, you fix his legacy right there. Kyrie probably still ends up being the same. Blake gets a championship somehow at the tail end of his career. There's a lot of guys whose story gets changed just by these two teams entering the finals. And in a way that there's no other narrative. I mean, God, the narratives. This would be an absolute wet dream for some of these national broadcast places. They never run out of stories. They'd never be able to stop talking about it.
My question to you, Doug, is who do you think would want it more? I'm just kidding. Don't answer that.
That's great. I was like, oh no. Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. I'm with you. I think you said at the top, I just don't see a scenario where at least one of them is not there with the way they're built at this point, where at least, especially the way the West doesn't seem to have really improved. I can't imagine a scenario. Well, now I'm too excited about it because I sometimes talk myself into not being this far in the right side of the bell curve of positivity. But this conversation has maybe probably shot me all the way there.
That's why you should just embrace the R word to make sure we get what we want. It is that exciting and that much fun.
Oh yeah.
Are there particular like when you look at the way the Lakers theoretically are going to be playing this season, which is just overwhelming teams with size, trying to get as much as they possibly can at the rim, just putting that type of pressure on you. And, if Frank Vogel's system and communication abilities are to be believed, being able to get any combination of players you ever give him to play elite level defense versus Durant and Harden and Kyrie leading this blitz of, we don't care about defense. We are just going to outscore everybody. Like, are there things in the matchup that make you believe like one side will give as opposed to the other one? Like, are there things that you look at and say, all right, here's where the Lakers may have an inherent advantage versus here's where the Nets may have? Again, early on, but just what you see on paper.
Yeah, I mean, I think a pretty obvious advantage that the Nets have right now is the one question I personally, I don't know, I'm sure you guys have talked about this, or I'd love to hear your feedback, is that if I looked at the two squads right now, I would have some concerns about the Lakers shooting, I think, in terms of, especially if they ran out.
You're not alone, Doug.
Yeah, if they ran out like a Westbrook, LeBron, AD, big center, and then like that last guy is the one guy that can shoot, that would be a little bit, like Ellington, I guess. Like that would be a little bit of a concern for me, or that would be where I would think the Nets would have some advantage that their defensive capabilities would not be able to make up. Because I'm actually not worried about guys like Russ on defense, especially around the two guards. And so when it comes to Harden and Kyrie, and so I'm not sure that's really an advantage that plays in the Lakers' favor. That I don't think enough.
You make yourselves easier to cover. This is why I actually made it to not let you get back to it. Like, no, yeah. I'm not totally sure they're going to play the overwhelming with size thing in the same way that they did in the championship season. You know, there will be elements of that, especially if Jordan plays, but I actually think they're going to be smaller and faster this year in a lot of ways than they were before. The difference is Anthony Davis is so rangy and so big, and LeBron is so big. And
Russ
and so
is like, big. I mean, they're big either they're way. Big. They're size from top to bottom.
Right. Size, by that you mean not just size at center, just size large target. Human beings. And okay, yeah. In that sense, I agree with you, but I think people sometimes associate that with, you know, playing a lot of centers, playing a lot of bigs. I'm not convinced they're going to do it that way, but yeah, they still got length. Sure.
Oh yeah. Like the Bucks had size last year, and you wouldn't think of them as a big team, but when they all stand on the court together, there's really nowhere for the ball to go. So size can be born out of different sort of types of player. It's but more
you do,
than
you're I, right. You do make yourselves easier to cover when you shrink the floor that way. And the shooting isn't there. It makes it easier for a team that may not be as good as you defensively, like the Nets, to cover you more easily.
Yeah, there's the Nets would not have a problem in the lineup that I mentioned. I don't actually think come to a game seven that would be the Lakers lineup. I don't. It's just I think, you know, eventually AD just moves to center, and they get another shooter onto the floor, another spacer onto the floor, and that ends up being the way you go. I still wonder how much of the shooting they have down the line, and if it's enough, because again, the Nets almost have the reason that it looks like the Nets have are always spacing the floor really well is not because they do space the floor very well, but it's because defenders cannot let up on any single player, and you can't double any guy. And so what happens then is the floor just magically does open up in a way that it doesn't for other teams, because the fractional inches that you can sometimes give away to other lesser players, it's not available with the Nets. And so then it looks like the ball can move super fast because there can't have any mistakes being made. It's such an overwhelming advantage when they play all against each other that can end up looking like, oh, they're this great spacing team and they move the ball so fast. It's really born out of when you're in that situation against them on defense, if you give even an inch in a certain situation, you're dead. And that typically can overwhelm even the most defensively sound big team when it's in the end, because they can score from all three levels. And specifically, they have three guys that can score at elite sort of levels from all three levels. And when that's the case, there's very few defensive combinations that can account for that. And so I think that combined with wondering a little bit where some of the range shooting comes for the Lakers would make me think that the Nets, at least on paper right now, have the advantage.
So my last thing, how much of what the Nets are doing, you know, in terms of their strategy and all that is to overwhelm with offense in a way that you feel like you need to score every time down because you're not going to get enough stops. Like how much of that is to, whether it's to speed you up, to get you out of your game and all that kind of stuff, is central to their strategy? Because to me, that's a fascinating aspect of why the Lakers may be looking for more offense this year, is to compete with that, where, you know what, I don't care how good of a defense we construct, we need more firepower to compete with a team that can score against any defense.
Yeah, so the Nets kind of showed that this is a path. When the Warriors could do this too, and there's some overlap between how I think these things play out with the Warriors. I don't think they're the same defensively as the Warriors, but there's a tenet in basketball that your defense becomes better the more you score, because you start from a better position. One, you don't get caught in transition as much. You can reset the defense. Like, the Warriors used to play super fast. And sometimes people are like, oh, they play super fast, but they also played super fast and awesome on defense. And so one of the reasons for that was, when you score every time down the court, you're not getting cross-matched. You're not getting out in transit. No one can get you in transition. No one can kind of catch you on your heels, because you just are able to move back down the court and defensively reset yourself. And so, one, I think that is actually you'd always want to score more. Yeah, like, you need to score more points to win. But some teams that can understand that a little bit better will say, hey, the more we score also, it will also lighten the load for us on the other end of the court, because we're just not going to get caught in disadvantaged situations. And so I think that's where they start also. It's also easy to forget, like, Durant's an excellent defender. Some of these guys are super versatile. Harden's actually, when he is engaged, is a good defender, and he was pretty engaged last year. So, like, he's competent at defense. Kyrie played fine on defense last year because they were all really engaged. And so I think they want to overwhelm you simply because they can. Look how close they came to beating the Bucks with just Durant, no Kyrie, and at best 70% Harden. And they came within Durant's toe of winning that series against the Bucks. And that was just because you couldn't stop Durant. He was unstoppable when they focused all the defensive attention against him. If you put the other guys on the court, it's really just a proposition that most teams can't do. And they just know then that if that's going to be the equation, that is unsolvable for other teams. The Warriors kind of got it too. It was like, hey, if we have two guys that shoot this well from three, one guy that can roll to the rim, and anybody that can do anything else, it's going to be, oh, and they put Durant on the team. Sorry, I forgot about him. And they put Durant on the team also. What can you do? This team is built like that in terms of offense. It's not, they don't have Steph, but these guys aren't far behind them. Like, the Warriors are a comp like this for how good they can be on offense when they're all things are clicking. It starts with Durant, but these other guys are just they can just absolutely overwhelm you. So good luck.
All right. There is no shortage of stuff to talk about when it comes to the Lakers and Nets. It is mid September. We're literally just getting started with it. I cannot imagine this will be the last time, Doug, that we do this. It was a lot of fun. And two teams that it sucks, and it's cool that they're only going to play twice this year, because it leaves a lot of mystery. So thanks so much for coming on, man, and giving the time. Looking forward to doing it again.
I'll talk Nets versus Lakers all day. Yeah, look forward to talking during the season.
Awesome, man. Thank you.
All right, thanks for hanging in for two parts of Locked On Nets, Locked On Lakers crossover podcast. Again, we'll be doing this more during the season. You'll hear from us when we cross over with some of these other teams as well. Always fun to talk to some of the local guys, local markets, get a new taste of, just a new sense of what's been happening in different places. Lakers, Nets, obviously heading in for an awesome season. It's going to be a really, really fun one. Like I said at the top, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. That link will be in the show notes. Make sure you subscribe over there. Maybe like a video or two. Leave a comment. Love to hear from you. Commenting back when people throw something out there. Want to hear from people all season long. And if you're just listening to the podcast and your regular old devices, make sure you rate and review wherever you listen. Adam and I will be back again Friday talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.